Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
And we have a special guest this hour. It's Friday. You know, it's Friday. Hey, it's time to take a break from the hard news and do some some stuff in a little different vein. We love to do this once in a while. Always have to give a disclaimer. Now, I'm not saying just because I have somebody on the air that I totally buy into everything that they say, just like I'm sure that they wouldn't buy into everything I say. But we think it's interesting anyway. And so we like to get a lot of different people on with a lot of different ideas and stuff on. We had some really good comments on the fellow we had on last week about the hollow earth theory. Yeah, people said that was just fascinating. They just really enjoyed that. Well, hopefully we are going to have another good time today. We have with us a gentleman right now by the name of Bluewater. Now, we have a congressman in our state, Butch Otter. Are you related to him?
Not unless he's a Cherokee or...
That's your Indian name, right?
Yeah, that's it's actually a translation of Chasa, which means blue otter.
Okay, Chasa.
Okay. My Anglo name is Will Anderson.
Okay, and that's your Christian name?
Right.
All right, well, we'll call you Will then for the sake of this discussion. And
actually, my Christian name is Scott. It's given name, Christian name, and surname. Middle name is Christian name, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, well, Scott William, whatever. All right, here we go. Now, you have a website, and tell us about this website. What's the name of it?
Well, Prophecy Keepers, PROPHECYKEEPERS.com, is a nonprofit public foundation of the National Heritage Foundation. We are a clearinghouse for prophecy from all over the world, whether it's biblical prophecy, Hopi prophecy, Nostradamus, Mayan, Hopi, tribal, the Quran. They all are basically saying the same thing about what's going on right now, especially now in view that we have tsunamis involved.
Okay. And this is a really interesting subject to me. I first got interested in this because I had a very dear friend who, by the way, just passed away a few months ago, Lance Richardson. I don't know if you've ever met him, but he did much the same thing, and he collected prophecies, particularly American Indian prophecies and Tibetan prophecies and a whole bunch of things. And he put out a series of books and tapes on it, which was really interesting. And he kind of got me interested in it. And so it is something that we have carried on the Radioactive program. It's kind of a break from our normal political talk once in a while. And I think it's a very interesting thing. Now, in you actually yourself have had some prophetic dreams as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so you knew Lance Richardson, huh?
You know Lance?
Well, Sterling Allen's a longtime friend of me, or mine.
Sterling Allen on the show just like 3 days ago.
Right, yeah, Sterling and I know each other for many, many years, and I know about Lance through Sterling's website.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Lance was a good friend of mine. We're both Idaho boys in the broadcast business, so, you know, we've known each other for many, many years, very close friends. Or we were, but he's, like I say, he just passed on last year. It was kind of a tragedy.
I think I missed your question, though. What was it again?
You yourself have actually had prophecies as well, right? Prophetic dreams?
Back in 1982, one morning I woke up, and a voice simply told me that an attempt was going to be made on the life of my wife, Joanne Mary Anderson, during the Dark of the Moon. And we looked for an immediate fulfillment of that. It was the first thing anything like that had ever happened to me. But about 2 weeks after that, I noticed that she was showing signs of problems with her breast. She lost a breast immediately, lost another breast, and 13 years later, she passed away on the 29th of April of 95. And about 10 days after she passed away, I was in my future mother-in-law's home, and with my future wife, and I said, I remember this dream I had. Let's check the calendar. So Betty went over and checked the calendar. Sure enough, Joanne had passed away right in the middle of a 3-day Dark of the Moon period. So in 1982, Creator started to get me used to listening to things and showing me that he could predict things. And in 1998, in March, I was in Logan in the graduate school at USU. And in Logan, Utah, and this voice just...
Hey, that's where I was born, man.
Was that right?
I was born in Logan.
And that's a nice town. Anyway, the voice just said that the year 2005 would be known in the future as the year of the Great Havoc, because the weather would become so bad that it would cause possibly many of the computers in the world to shut down. And then the voice raised from a normal speaking voice to a yelling voice and says, "Wake up and write that down."
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some case cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging, and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Blue Otter. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist, when I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot to that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position.
You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and they're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that. But the average person will help. But of course now they've got so very many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
So, I had a Native Prophecy website on the internet since '96, so it's been on my website. The prediction's been on the website ever since.
All right. Now, have you been to Logan recently?
No, I have. I haven't been back to Logan for it's 10 years.
All right. Well, you should have been. You should be there right now, because there are some horrible things happening with the weather in Logan right now. Most all of my family's from that area. Like I say, I was born down there. And just talking with my uncles and cousins just 3 or 4 days ago, and they have had some of the biggest snowfall that they have ever had, that they've ever recorded in that area. They buildings all throughout the valley, you know, even these great big steel buildings, are collapsing under the weight of the snow.
Oh, that's good to know. My storage is in Hyde Park in a metal storage building.
Hyde Park.
Well, you know, Bishop Coyle.
My great grandfather's.
Bishop Coyle, the largest movement of people in the LDS Church, other than the church itself, was the Dream Mine or the Relief Mine.
Uh-huh.
And Bishop Coyle predicted during this period of time that there would be weather signs that would lead up to the collapse of the United States government. And the one everybody's holding their breath waiting for is for there to be a hard winter in the entire country, followed by a waterlogged spring. Well, naturally, if you have a lot of snow up in the mountains, you're going to be waterlogged.
Sure.
And he says followed by a long hot summer, and then he says when the wheat was in the boot or in the dough, in other words, you know, along about August and September, that the relief mine would come in. And if you're those people that are LDS out there, you're familiar with the teachings about the three Nephite apostles that are talked about in the Book of Mormon. And oddly enough, there are also three messengers that came to Handsome Lake, who was the Seneca prophet, who in 1801 became the founder of the current Six Nations Iroquois religion, known as the Good News religion. And they said that they reported to another person who is in Creator's land, giving a report during their first visit to Handsome Lake when he was in a coma for 4 years. Later on, the Handsome Lake met the fourth person, but this is identical to the Mormon teaching that there are three apostles out there that are immortals.
Actually, four.
Yeah, that report to John the Revelator, who is the fourth.
Right. Yeah, that was, no, are
and
you LDS?
And then you've got... Yes, I am on the roll.
Oh, see, I didn't even know this. This was kind of a weird thing.
I've got problems. You know, the church in 1984, President Benson said the church was under condemnation, and this is the first time since about the 1830s or 40s that this had even been mentioned in the church. But you know, Joseph was told to stay away from Freemasonry, or actually, he was told to stay away from men who were Freemasons. And he was told that if he didn't do that, that the church would go into condemnation. And he apparently refused to, and he was told that he would fall. And apparently he refused to stop listening to certain men. And so, you know, we have problems with Freemasonry mixed up with It's actually an anti-Book of Mormon teaching. Mixing Freemasonry with Book of Mormon is like mixing oil with water, literally.
Well, that's true, you know, the whole secret society thing. Okay, well, let's talk about some of these prophecies then. Now, you are a clearinghouse for many different, many multicultural prophecies. And this is, again, something that I have studied for a long, long time. It's been a hobby of mine for at least the last 10 years, and I've put on many shows about it. We've talked about Nostradamus and some of the other old world prophets and new world prophets and things of this nature. And I've noticed that there are certain consistencies with these prophecies, no matter where they are. And one of them is the weather prophecies. Now, again, I also have told people on this program before that it's easy to be a prophet because if you're general enough about it, you know, you can make it seem like anything could come. It's only when prophets get into making specific prophecies that they get into trouble. And weather is one of those general things. We live in a small farming community here. One of the things that I hear over and over again, I go to church on Sunday, we talk to the old farmers, you know, and they say, "I've never seen a winter like this. This is the worst winter I've ever seen. I've been around here for 75 years, and I've never seen nothing worse than this." And then summer will come along. "This is the hottest summer I've ever seen." And they've been doing this for every year, you know. And every year, I know every year is not worse than the year before. But, you know, I think people have a tendency to put a lot of credence into weather. So let's talk about some of the weather prophecies. In some of the prophecies that you have, are there a lot of references to weather?
Well, let me give you a little bit of rundown. It's not just me. I mean, I was surprised to see the prophecy that I was given come true. And I, early last year, I began to say to myself, you know, the real New Year, the Jewish New Year, the Cherokee New Year is in September. So I began to wonder whether the 2005 prophecy would start in September. I wasn't disappointed because it started with the four hurricanes that we had in Florida last September. The interesting thing is earlier last year we started having and the year before that started having a lot of coronal mass ejection problems with the sun. There were actually satellites that were burned up because of this. And I think about spring last year, spring or summer, in the spring of last year, I began to wonder if the sun wasn't going to come into this equation. And within 3 months, it was announced that sun forecasting would become part of all weather data that was given downstream for people to use for local weather forecasting. So anyway, last year the independent newspaper in Great Britain...
Okay, hang on just a second. Will, we got to take a break. We're going to continue talking with Blue Otter, Will Anderson, and he's going to be telling us about some of the weird weather, and if that portends a coming of the last days coming up.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now.
Put it
under
your bed. Put it in your closet. Give it for Christmas to people and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Radioactive continuing again with our special guest, Will Anderson. Or Blue Otter, Chesa, I believe is the Indian name there. And he is talking to us about his website, prophecykeepers.com, where he has assembled prophecies from all different kinds of cultures and religions, many of them pertaining to things in our era. You know, one of the things, before we get back into the weather stuff a little bit, one of the things I've noticed is that if you look at a lot of these multicultural prophecies, I don't know if you've ever read Mother Shipton's prophecies, but they're absolutely fascinating. But if you look at a bunch of these things, you notice that they start talking about a lot of things that we can see in our time. References to flight, references to battleships or submarines, references to automobiles, telephones. You know, a few of these things are common in some of these older prophecies, but you never hear anything beyond that. Does that mean that we may be living in what are euphemistically termed the last days?
Well, rather than speculate, personally I believe that. I mean, the signs are here, but let's talk a little bit about maybe about what scientists are looking at. I mean, this is what people... this is the way that Coast to Coast AM has been going away from the spiritual and toward hard science. So we have great problems with weather. I don't know if you know what's going on right now in Europe, but it's just chaos over there. Dead zones are being found in the world's oceans. The Pentagon is studying climate collapse. Reuters News recently had a headline that they feared that the Earth was undergoing a mass species wipeout. And bear in mind that volcanism, which is on the rise, always precedes and is associated with ice ages, which the Hopi prophecy indicates would be the case, as did the Book of Mormon, talking about, or at least Mormon theology, which talks about the coming back of the lost 10 tribes from the north. The United Nations is warning of Middle East of a locust plague of biblical proportions. Leprosy is making a comeback. Pope John Paul II, oceanographers, atmospheric scientists, solar scientists, glaciologists, Nature.com, FEMA, and NASA, they're all looking into climate change. Even our growing plants, the growing zones, you can go and look at the growing zone maps from 1960, compare them to the growing zone maps from right now, and you can see that, growing zone 5 has crept down into growing zone 6. It's, in 40 years, the weather has moved north. 150 miles. So we are going into, and this is another thing I was told years ago when I was asked what kind of preparations to make, I was told that it was going to get colder. So my wife and I prepared cold weather clothes, even if we had to go into some kind of a shelter and temporarily, and let's say we did get nuked, you'd need to go into some kind of an underground shelter, and you know, you're going to be living at 55 degrees for a few weeks. You're going to want to be warm. But that's kind of a, I mean, the Vatican and the FEMA and NASA especially, you know, looking at and making announcements about climate change should concern everybody. Did you also hear that in Russia there was a law recently passed that they're going to start prosecuting Russian news or a weathercaster that if they don't start getting it right, they're going to jail them.
I thought that was pretty funny. Actually, it was a proposed law that'll pass. But yeah, we actually talked about that on the program. That and I'm glad they don't do that with me because you know I'm pretty good at the weather, but I screw up sometimes.
Well, television weatherman Scott Stevens was recently talking with George Nuri. Scott Stevens is weatherwars.info, and he believes our weather is being controlled by outside sources. And he said that he became convinced that something was playing in the sky after studying visible satellite imagery that showed large weather systems with anomalous punched-out sections and square clouds. And I, right after the show, I contacted Scott and asked him to take a look at our site. He said, oh, I've been a big fan of your site for a long time. And then right after that, we started getting a bunch of he linked to me, and we started getting a bunch of people from NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, coming on the site. And so, you know, something's up. The government knows it. And, of course, they're not going to share any of that with us. And if there's going to be any preparations to make, it's ours. They're ours to make.
Does this have anything to do with the infamous HALO project?
It very well could. Scalar energy definitely can screw things up. You know, the Russians are further ahead of us. I mean, the Russians talked about a secret weapon back in the 60s that would dwarf anything that we have, and they've been working on Tesla technology long before we ever got in the saddle of that.
All right. So what's your sense now? You I've been studying this for a long time, and it would be pure speculation, and I understand that. But what is your sense? Are we really heading for, as you said, great havoc this year?
Well, we're already there. The prophecy said that when, more or less indicated that when it was all said and done, that they would look back at 2005 and call it the year of the great havoc. And Scott Stevens pointed out that it's almost impossible to predict weather right now. He said that what the weather people have been used to being able to make predictions. He says, there's something afoot. He says all the rules have changed. He says it's just about impossible. Well, I noticed, you know, we had a gathering here with Red Elk this last weekend. And I noticed they had a 3 or 4 day weather projection for this local area here in southern Missouri, and they weren't even able to get that right.
Wow. Hey, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back. We are going to continue with Will Anderson, Blue Otter, and going to talk about prophecies. We're going to talk about the weather and much more.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow. But tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of 5 exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Left to go in this hour. We're very fortunate to have with us Will Anderson, Blue Otter, and he's the owner of the website prophecykeepers.com, a compilation of multicultural prophecies. We've been talking about the weather, and we've been talking about 2005 being the year of the great havoc. Now, I think it's interesting, Will, that you mentioned Cole. Now, we had, what was the guy's name, Aaron? I can't remember. Week before last 2 weeks ago today, talking about the Ice Age. I can't even think of the guy's name. But he's from Florida and is a science writer and has been covering the global warming stuff for years and years and years. And he told us, and he came on the air and he says, you know, right now we have about 300 and I think he said 388 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And he says, historically, over the history of the Earth, whenever the parts per million rises above the 200 age, it is a sure sign that the Earth is headed for an ice age,
uh-huh.
Global warming.
What did you talk about, Robert Felix?
Was that who we talked about?
Yeah, iceagenow.com. He's written not by fire, but by ice.
We quoted him, but no,
right.
He wasn't the guy we interviewed. We interviewed him.
Okay. He's also written Ice Cycles. He's very prominent. He's on Coast to Coast and Laura Lee but now he's I don't really get too concerned about prophecies until they start lining up with two or three other correlations, and we've got the Hopi, the Book of Mormon, and science telling us that we're headed for Ice Age.
So you believe that the global warming is the last of our worries then?
Well, global warming was probably the reason why the oceans were warming was because the Earth was warming, and Earth warming precedes volcanic activity naturally, and this. You know, some people are saying that this is because our... Now, you got to understand, our solar system is on a precession around the galaxy. We don't just... our sun doesn't just stay in one spot. It proceeds around the galaxy. And we proceed with it, and there's either a 26,000 or a 52,000-year precession cycle. And in the last week of December of 2012, we will be entering in what the Mayan called the Black Road. It is an area of the galaxy that is very dense. Early last year, cosmologists had a big wake-up call. It was proven scientifically that about 17% of the matter in the universe is visible. Another 78% or something like that is invisible. They call it dark matter. There's a lot out there that we don't see that apparently is having an impact on our solar system and our planet, and there are great changes ahead of us. And really, thanks to the Mayan and the Hopi, do we really understand what possibly might be going on.
Let's talk a little bit about those Hopi prophecies. Now, where do these prophecies come from?
Well, the Hopi prophecy... there is a prophecy on Prophecy Rock down near Oribe. My good friend Zula Brinkerhoff, who's now passed away. Zula used to be personal secretary of the governor of Utah, governor before Banger, I can't remember his name. But she ran Pipe Spring Monument for quite a while. And back in the 60s, she became a spokesman for the traditional Hopi and was adopted by David Monongi, who was the keeper of the Hopi prophecy. And over a period, the Hopi were told anciently that when a gourd of ashes fell or was dropped that was hot enough to cause the oceans to boil, that they were to come forward with their prophecies. They were to go to the edge of the Eastern Ocean to a house of mica. And if you're familiar with minerals at all, you know that mica, the way it cleaves, it almost looks like window pane. It would be very irregular, and it's translucent and would look...
It's a type of natural...
Yeah, you can see through it, in other words. And a UN building is an all-glass building, one of the first all-glass buildings. But they went to the UN, and they were turned away. They went several times. Finally, they were allowed to speak when no one was there. The only time that the Jake Swamp and the Hopi Elders and... and Tadaho, the Supreme Sachem of the Six Nations, Leon Shenandoah, have really been allowed to speak is when nobody was really there. And, you know, I've done 53 interviews now with Native elders, teachers, and their confidants, and one of them was Nicholas Miguel Chango, who himself was a person who was predicted by the Salasara Aymara people in Ecuador to be the person. They were looking for him for hundreds of years because they knew a person would come that would be a bridge between their people and the Western world. And they raised him to be their chief, but they also sent him outside to public schools, always, you know, telling him to be careful not to become one of them. But when Ecuador recognized the Salazar Aymara on a government-to-government relationship, he was their first tribal chairman or president. But he was run out of the country. He was threatened that that if he didn't leave, the special forces would come in and kill all his people. So he made his way north through Mexico, eventually made it to New York, you know, where he couldn't even find a job washing dishes. So he ended up going to school. I think he got his degree in Wisconsin somewhere, then became prominent at the UN. But after his experiences with the UN Permanent Indigenous Forum, he indicated on our interview that he felt that there wasn't much use of working with the UN because he felt everything was planned.
Really? Okay. So he... I have a hard time. I got to tell you this. I have a hard time with, you know, these conspiracy, you know what I'm talking about? Is that what you're talking about here, conspiracy theories?
Well,
planned at a higher level than that?
Well, I don't know if you want to call it that. That was just his observation. You know, the northern, let me give it to you in a parable. The northern Plains Indians believe in a creator only because they looked at nature around them and knew that there was so little chaos that there had to be some kind of a plan. So I think Miguel just looked around and you know, after kicking against the pricks and being involved with all the politics and everything, and even some of his own people, one woman in particular, starting to undermine everything he did, he just came to the conclusion that the UN has their own plans, and you know, his people and other people like his are at constant war with the oil companies down in South and Central America. You know, we're talking shooting wars. And, I'll give it to you. I'll give you an interesting prophecy. I recently replayed Myron Fagan's expose of the UN and the CFR. You know, the first Secretary General of the UN said that he didn't care. He said that there was so much economic chaos. He said he didn't really care. You know, he said that he just wishes that a person would show up that would lead the world out of this economic chaos. And he said, "Be he devil or be he angel, we will follow him." That was the first Secretary General of the UN. That's a public statement that was made.
Was that Dag Hammarskjöld's thing?
No, it was before him. It was another European. I can't remember. Somewhere on my website, I do have the quote. I was looking. It's under prophecykeepers.com/Fagan, F-A-G-A-N, .html. I'm looking for it right now. But, you know, that's kind of where they're at.
Okay. Now, let's talk about other Native American prophecies. I'm kind of fascinated by these. Are there other prophecies by other tribes other than the Hopis that indicate to you that something is afoot?
Oh, yeah. I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
All of them. David Gahue, who is a Mi'kmaq elder, who was allowed to speak at the UN, said that all of the... He's a Mi'kmaq. They're a North... Yeah, from Maine.
I thought you said Big Mac. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
that's the kind of church I want to go to.
But yeah, really. No, but the Mi'kmaq, are an Algonquin people from the northeastern United States. And David Cahue some years ago made the observation that all the prophecies of all the nations, indigenous nations and eastern and western prophecy, are all pointing toward the same thing. And, you know, once I started to collect data, and when I wrote the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy, which is a 1,000-page prophecy encyclopedia for the purpose of raising funds to keep this, May radio show alive, I realized that Muhammad in writing in the Quran, Joseph Smith, in writing in Mormon theology, the Book of Mormon itself, I believe the Tibetan Kalachara, a whole lot of religions, including a lot of Catholic mystics, are all saying that we're headed for 3 days of darkness. And I documented this. We also took a look at... I don't know if you're familiar with Tom Brown Jr., who has written probably a dozen books in the Tracker series. Tom Brown is probably the best-known tracker of men in the country, and he was trained by the last Lipan Apache tracker. He and his friend years ago lived in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, and this old man named Stalking Wolf was in his 80s, and since his 20s, he had literally traveled from Alaska to Tierra del Fuego learning medicine ways, and the man was so much of a prophet, he could tell you if a mouse was going to cross the path in front of you in 10 or 20 seconds. But when Stalking Wolf's grandson and Tom Brown Jr.'s friend died in a horse accident, died riding a right horse, years later in Europe, it really got Tom's attention, so he began to pay close attention to what Grandfather Stalking Wolf had written about the coming red skies. Now, I don't know whether you realize this or not, but Mormon theology, I believe it's in the Doctrine and Covenants, talks about the fact that there will be no rain that will fall on the earth the year directly preceding the second coming of Christ. So,
Smith talked about that when he was talking about the sign of the rainbow, which was given to Noah. And he said that as long as you see a rainbow, you know it's not going to happen that year.
Right. And it comes from a lot of different directions. Like I said, I don't want to say, hey, you ought to read my book, but maybe you ought to, because...
How do people get a hold of your book?
Well, you just go to prophecykeepers.com or just put you can call me at 877, toll-free 877-412-2012. You can remember December 2012. Will help you remember the phone number. 877-412-2012. Or you can go to prophecykeepers.com or you can just do a search on any search engine for the terms native prophecy, either spelling a prophecy, either with a C or an S, and you'll get to my website. But the reason why I wrote the books is because the Bible says that in the last days that if you are fearful, you'll be caught in a snare. And all the elders, for the last 50 years, all they have wanted to do is they wanted to offer people enough information so they can become informed enough so that they will, number one, know what's going on. Number two, that they'll be able to see the signposts that are leading up to what's going on. Three, that they can become prepared. And hopefully, above all, they all want people to learn to have a direct connection with their Creator. Now, I personally believe that had people really listened closer to Moses, and there's a big hint in the Old Testament, you know, when people come in to Moses' tent and were complaining about two people that were walking through the camp of Israel complaining that people prophesying. His attitude was more or less, so what? He says, I would that everyone would be a prophet. Now, if they have gone up the mountain with him when they were invited, instead of asking for there to be a mediator between them or a priest between them, you know, I think we'd had a lot less problems. I think when people begin to want to have a preacher or someone explain the Creator in his ways to them, that's when we start getting into problem. And that allows what Joseph Smith and Brigham Young would have termed priestcraft to enter into the situation. You know, power corrupts, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think there's anybody that's been in the religion business because people are not perfect. But I personally believe, Red Elk believes, and all the other elders believe that there's the only way to really be warned, and I was warned years and years ago, and everyone out there in the listening audience can learn to have their own connection with the Creator. All they have to do is ask. Everybody knows how to pray. What people are kind of afraid to do or don't know, because it's a lost technology of sorts, is that they need to learn how to meditate. In other words, they need to take the advice of my old friend Rocco de Villiers, who's somewhere up in he's in a bishopric somewhere around in your area. He used to pack the stake centers and around Salt Lake and Provo, teaching people how to get an answer to prayer. Rocco taught me this. Rocco used to be a physical therapist at the Salt Lake Clinic and worked with a lot of the general authorities. And he just said, hey, you know, you need to start getting answers to prayer. You need to expect them. You need to learn to how to listen. And he says it's just as simple as, you know, getting down on your knees someplace where you're not going to fall asleep, maybe on a chair or something, asking to open a dialogue with Father. You know, Red Elk just calls him Dad, and waiting. It might take several hours. You know, with me it only took about 5 minutes. The physical, you may. Well, the Book of Mormon talks about the thing that which makes your bones to quake. Most people have probably woken up with a feeling like they were vibrating, specifically if you come out of... I know everyone's probably had a prophetic dream.
Hang on just a second.
Sure.
I want to get into this a little bit more with you, but we got to take a break. We're gonna wrap it up here in just a couple of minutes, so stick around. Blue Water, coming back.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated and freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now. Marie
Put it
Osmond.
Under your bed. Put it in your closet. Give it for Christmas to people and save lives.
Thank you very much.
Will you tell Donnie that we hope his rear feels better? Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No. Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Will Bluewater Anderson is with us today on Radioactive for the last portion of the program today. He has the website, prophecykeepers.com. You can go there and you can look up any of his books there, or you can give him a call at 877-412-2012, and I will keep those numbers here in case you want them, and get the books to read more about this. You know, one of the things, and you brought this up just before the break, Will, that I have had a lot of people say to me, and by the way, you know, it sounds like, you know, you talk about some of the people that I've talked to on this program before, and, you know, you talked about Sterling Allen and, you know, whom I have had on the program several times. You know, so we may run around in a lot of the same circles, I guess. I don't know. Some of the same rarefied breathing, some of the same rarefied air. But in any case, one of the things that I have noticed, a lot of the people that we talk to on this particular subject to on the air, a lot of them have the same reaction that you just said right here, that, you know, as far as preparation goes for, you know, anything that could be coming in the future, be it good or bad, forming a relationship with our Father in Heaven is probably the most important preparation we can do.
Absolutely. Now, I'd like to point out that as far as the Old Testament, Isaiah, speaking of our time, said that we would be in a time where all the tables would be full of vomit and that there would not be any clean place that the Savior could lay his head. So all religions, you have to go from the and I know this goes counter to, you know, all of my LDS friends out there who have been taught to listen to the prophet. You know, before the third or fourth president of the church, before President Snow came out with a manifesto in 1890, everyone said, do not listen to us, listen to the Spirit. And then when the manifesto came out, it said that it wasn't in the Lord's program for the prophet to lead the people astray. But I'm here to tell you that humans are humans, and you know, the New Testament talks about a great delusion that would happen in the last days. The safe bet is to go directly to the source and learn how to have a direct connection with your Creator, just like Moses indicated that we all should have. If you do that, you may still have time as wise virgins to collect the oil that you need to get ready for when the bridegroom does come.
Okay. Now, what about physical preparations? You said you've laid in a supply of warm clothing. What other things should we be laying in supply of?
Well, I'd recommend everybody gets at least one or two pair of boots with like 900 or 1,000 gram thinsulate. Footwear, anything that's manufactured may not be available soon, and you ought to have a couple pair of boots. I'd recommend non-military color BDU battle dress uniforms. They come in slate blue and gray and black and white, and because these they're extremely durable, and like the seats of the pants are like triple thickness and their weight. You can get them up to like 3 or 4X, and they're not real expensive. But stay away from the military colors. You do not want we are going to be invaded at some point. It's going to take divine intervention to drive that invasion back. And so you, I don't think, you know, in a time of a police state, and we're real close, because once we go to level one on Homeland Security, if you leave your house, you will be considered to be a terrorist. So we're right at the door of police state right now. And I think it'd be smart, well, as far as food storage goes, you know, the Hopi's stored for 7 years. You know, in Brigham Young's time, they stored for 7 years, then they went to 3.5 years, then they went to 2, and finally President Snow said, he said, hey, even if the states do half right, it's about a year, I really recommend a year's supply of food storage. Now, you know, one of the things that I mentioned a person earlier, and I don't want to mention his name again, but his daughter married general authority's, his son or daughter married general authority's daughter or son, and he got his head together with the other father and said, what are we going to do for the kids for a wedding present? And he said, don't you think we ought to maybe give them some food storage? And the general authority of the LDS Church laughed at him and said, oh, that's passé. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, not passé, because, you know, even if you become unemployed for a while, you can sure use the food storage. It's cheap insurance.
Well, I can tell you that. from personal experience, the food storage has saved my bacon many a time in the past 25 years. And I've never been caught in a natural disaster.
Yeah, go reread Howard Ruff's book, How to Profit During the Coming Bad Years. And, you know, Howard, I think, is a real man of honor. You know, he could have done a lot of other things, but, you know, he said his piece, and he's had his ups and downs, and he's still saying the same thing.
Well, we got just a little less than a minute left to go on the program. We appreciate you coming on with us, Will. Any closing comments for our folks?
Well, I'd like to say Osio Ogita Li'i to my Cherokee cousins out there.
Not a lot of Cherokees around here.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot more than you might think. And, you know, there was 26 arguments that were made in the middle 1700s that Cherokee Indians were descendants of lost tribes, and more properly, we in 1750 we were told that we migrated across the Eastern Ocean to get here, and we have so many beliefs that are the same as Abrahamic peoples that there can be no other conclusion. You know, we are related. There are many Native peoples that are the Chickasaws. Everybody didn't come over the land bridge, and the scientists are now are figuring that out.
I appreciate it, but we are out of time. We got a sayonara. Thank you very much for coming on the program today. And once again, folks, the phone number, if you want to order some books or get some more information, is 877-412-2012, or go to prophecykeepers.com. Thank you very much, Will. Bluewater Anderson, thanks for the call.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself, and his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. And I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Crescent Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to an electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and, in fact, has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase and most importantly the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase 1 detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Thank you. of other times let the wind blow. Let the truth be known to all mankind again. Prophecy keeper, prophecy keeper. Let the truth be known.